righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they told me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of Pissing People.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo, 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 yo,
good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, good morning, DJ Emmy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Yes, it's Thursday.
I'm going off 2 hours of sleep, but that's normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty normal.
Wow, what were you doing?
I did the late show with Stephen Colbert last night, and it was actually live. You know, it's live after all the conventions. So it was live last week for the Republican National Convention, and it's live this week for the Democratic National Convention. And Barack wanted to speak so late last night because it's his final speech, his final hurrah. So he spoke so late, and I think he was done by like 11:30, 11:35.
It was pretty late, like about 11:30.
So then the local news had to come on, and then Colbert came on like 12:23, and it was actually a live show.
Wow, you didn't take a nap beforehand?
Not yesterday. I didn't have time. Went to the gym, went to get a haircut. I live life. You know, play with the kids, kiss the wife, you know?
Well, I'm in Chicago right now, and there's a bit of a time difference. So I didn't get a lot of sleep either, but I feel good.
It happens. We're here.
Absolutely.
A slightly bright-eyed, but definitely bushy-tailed.
Definitely bushy-tailed this morning.
Where the hell did that saying ever come from? Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
It's from squirrels.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You're like a little squirrel with a bushy tail.
And bright eyes.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
but I'm in Chicago now. One of the first people I saw when I got here was I saw Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade.
Dropping the food bombs for that. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They were eating right outside the hotel where I'm staying.
Did they know who you were?
Well, yeah, first of all, I know Gabrielle Union. That's my girl. Like, I love her. Hung out with her a few times in Miami. Super cool. So a lot of people kept stopping to take pictures. They were eating outside. And I asked a dumb question.
What you ask?
Well, she was like, hey, what are you doing here, Yee? I was like, oh, I had to do something for work. What are you doing here?
And duh.
I know. I forgot that he plays here now for the Bulls.
What was her reply?
I mean, he's from there. He plays there.
Well, she pointed at him, and he had on a Chicago Bulls hat. And she said, you know, we're looking for a place to live and school for the kids and stuff like that. So we're just here because, you know, he plays for the team now.
Wow, Yee.
I was like, oh.
Good job, Yee.
You know, I forgot.
Okay.
Next time you see Derrick Rose, don't ask Derrick Rose what he's doing in New York when you see him here.
Okay? he's playing basketball here.
It just caught me off guard. And then I was actually going to eat at that restaurant, but then I felt like stupid. So I just was like, all right, take care. And then I had to walk all the way around the block and sneak around the back and go inside.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about, Easy?
Man, we're going to talk about Freddie Gray. Now, people can't believe this, but the charges were all dropped. We'll give you the details on that.
People can't believe it? Really? What country have we been living in? Since when has there been justice? Ain't that what we upset about?
I mean, I thought something.
Mm.
I really did. I thought something because everybody knows Freddie Gray didn't kill himself, but, you know.
Yeah. What else are we talking about?
And, of course, we'll be talking about President Barack Obama at the Democratic National Convention endorsing Miss Hillary Clinton.
All right.
Mrs. Hillary Clinton.
We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Come on and get your ass up. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. That was Beyonce with Sorry. Now, let's get in some front page news. Now, Freddie Gray case. What happened to the officers, Yee?
Right, and just to refresh you, this is about Freddie Gray, who was in the back of a police van and somehow died. Now, according to the state's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, she said, we do not believe that Freddie Gray killed himself. We stand by the medical examiner's determination that Freddie Gray's death was a homicide. So we know that for a fact. But they did drop all the remaining charges against three Baltimore police officers. They had already acquitted three others, including the van's driver and the highest-ranking officer of the six.
So if you know that it's a homicide, how do you justify letting all the police officers
First of all, it's called a homicide.
What did I say? Well, if you know that he got murdered, why do you still let the police officers off?
I can't figure it out. That just sounds crazy.
I knew they was getting off though once Baltimore paid Freddie Gray's family that $6.4 million.
Tried to get it up.
They not giving the family $6.4 million and convicting the officers. That ain't gonna happen.
And according to the police department, they're saying the state's attorney simply could not accept the evidence that was presented. She had her own agenda. So they do believe she had her own agenda. But come on.
So he could.
Even the medical examiner said it was not an accident.
Yes. Right. So when you say you can't accept the evidence presented, you can't accept Freddie Gray's broken, mangled, dead body? That's not enough evidence?
Sounds crazy.
That he clearly didn't do himself? That's not enough evidence?
So sad.
Okay.
Now let's talk about Barack Obama, ye.
Yes, Barack Obama spoke at the Democratic National Convention yesterday.
He
endorsing Hillary Clinton. Here's what he had to say.
Nothing truly prepares you for the demands of the Oval Office. But Hillary's been in the room. She's been part of those decisions. No matter how much people try to knock her down, she never, ever quits. That is the Hillary I know. And that's why I can say with confidence, there has never been a man or a woman more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as president of the United States of America.
He's absolutely right. Even if you don't like Hillary Clinton, you can't act like she's not experienced enough to be president.
Right. She's definitely experienced.
And that's the simple difference between her and Donald Trump to me. One's got zero experience.
She knows how to work the system.
One's got a lot.
Yeah. Yo, Barack gives amazing speeches. When he talks, you just mesmerize.
And he gives amazing speeches without sweating. It's hard for a black man to be up on that pulpit
and
give them great sermons and not sweat. Like, you saw Cory Booker the other night. Cory Booker was giving
a
great speech, but he had his pastor rag damp in that forehead. Barack don't even take sips of water.
Nope.
Don't nobody come out and spray no cool water on his face, no towel, no nothing.
He
just
ill
ripping.
With it. He ill with it.
Drop one of Clues Bombs with President Barack Obama. You'll never see it like that again in your life.
That boy got swag when he talks, boy. All right. That's front page news. Now, on today's show, we got an artist joining us. He's pretty new. You might not know who he is. You might know who he is. He goes by the name of Anderson .Paak.
Oh, well, he was on the cover of the Freshman XXL.
Yes.
He's got a great project out called Malibu. I like Anderson .Paak. He's dope. I feel bad because when Keith Sweat was here the other day, and Keith Sweat was talking about people that could be legends in R&B in the future.
Right.
And I said Miguel, which I stand by still. Uh-huh. But I feel like Anderson .Paak got something, bro.
Yeah, we'll talk to him.
Really
he's also signed to Dr. Dre. He's done a bunch of work with Dr. Dre, The Game. He's real dope.
He was on that Compton album.
Yeah, he was on a Compton album. He's not just R&B, though. He's just a little everything.
He's got something. He's special.
Yeah.
I think he's special.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him a little
but
bit.
But what do I know?
But right now...
I got the same clothes on I had on yesterday.
I noticed that, but you didn't even take a shower. You had to go home.
I did take a shower.
You just put on the
I actually
clothes.
Mixed and matched. What I did yesterday, I had on something... I had on these pants yesterday when I was here.
Mm-hmm.
But I wore this shirt last night on Colbert's show.
So you just mixed
and match. I got the same pants I had on yesterday. Yesterday. Not last night, but yesterday. But the same shirt I had on last night.
Did you
night.
Change your drawers?
I don't know.
That's important.
No, the reason
you
I don't know is
you can't take a shower and not change your drawers. You have to change your drawers.
I don't know because I woke up, they was on the floor. So I can't remember if I wore these last night or did I pull them out this morning and just throw them
sounds
on the ground.
Sounds like a great night.
I'm not sure.
That's a little disgusting, bro. You should at least change the drawers.
I'm not sure. But whatever.
All right. Well, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you haven't changed your drawers. You got a little stench coming up.
I ain't got no stench.
I ain't say you. I didn't say you.
You sound like you're talking about me.
I didn't say nothing about you. I just said maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking about wearing the same drawers. Now, all of a sudden, you just going to randomly shout out people who got on the same drawers with a little stench.
I wasn't talking about you, bro.
Okay.
You
had
a stench?
800-585-1051. If you're a little smelly, maybe you're upset. Maybe, no matter what it is, if you just need to vent a little bit, get something off your chest, call us right now. 800-585-1051. Call us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, good morning, yo. This is the Mad Rapper, son, for real.
I'm mad, and I stay mad. I stay angry. I stay heated. I stay pissed off.
Tell them why you mad. Breakfast Club, let's go.
Good morning. This is Charlie Jr. from Duval County.
Duval! Tell them why you mad, bro.
So, my debit card messed up. The strip don't work no more, so I got some checks. I tried to use my post-dated check to the subway yesterday, and they wouldn't take them, man. The word getting too bougie.
First of all...
it's post-dated, so you can't use it, right?
Yeah, I can use it. That means they're going to cash it when I put the date on there, which was for like 2 days later.
I don't blame Subway.
I
literally eat at Subway every day for lunch, and I wouldn't take a post-dated check if I was Subway.
Why
either.
Wouldn't you take a post-dated check?
Because you don't know if the person got money in their account or not. You don't know what's in that person's account.
Yeah, what if it doesn't clear?
It's going to clear. It was only $4.
We don't know you, sir. We don't know if that money's going to clear. That could be a fake
account.
Oh, it
was only for $4?
Yeah, $4, Angela Yee. I'm telling you. Come on. They could have took a little check. Let me get my little sandwich and let me go on about
what
my...
What the hell kind of sandwich you got for $4 at Subway?
It was like $4 and some change, man.
The bad thing about this guy is he ordered the sandwich and then had to pay for it, and then he ain't had the money, so the sandwich just sitting in there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel...
I had the money. The money was on the check, I'm telling y'all, man. They could have scanned it or something, man.
I feel like if you got...
They couldn't do me like that.
If you got to write a post-dated check for a sandwich you don't deserve to eat, just snack on some air. Just snack on some air until you get it in.
Well, his
hand.
Debit card doesn't
work,
though.
And you ain't right, Charlotte, man. You ain't right. I was finna take up for you for having the same drawers on from yesterday, too, man.
Yeah, you need to. A person that got to write a post-dated check for $4 for a Subway sandwich probably wearing the same drawers today,
Charlamagne
too.
Has some post-dated boxers.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's good? It's Top Flight Security Detroit.
Top Flight Security. What up, Doe? Tell them how you mad.
I'm kind of sick of people talking about people behind people back at work.
Uh-oh.
Man. That's all they do.
So petty, right?
Like we in middle school or something. I'm tired of it.
You ain't going to do nothing about it.
Yeah, you're right. All right?
I bet you sometimes you talk too.
No, I laugh at it, but, you know, I'm kind of tired of it.
You know that don't really sound like you mad if you laughing with people.
Yeah, you're right.
You ain't laughing.
Have a blessed day, sir.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Sean from Roxbury in Boston.
Tell him why you mad.
Man, I'm mad because this is the first time I've been able to get through to y'all's telephone since y'all first came out here.
But we appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, but I'm pissed off, man. It took months on months to get y'all.
But now you got through. What's up? Talk to us.
Chilling, man. I'm just enjoying that video I saw that went viral the other day. The cop giving the black guy a hug on the side of the highway. Mm-hmm. Man, that was priceless, man.
Oh, that's good.
A cop giving a what on the side of the highway?
A
giving
hug.
Somebody a hug.
I gave him a hug.
I missed that one.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, bro.
He pulled him over because he had an expired sticker. It was a pastor from a church. So the cop said, listen, I'm going to give you two things. One, I'm going to give you a warning. And two, can I get a hug?
It was
priceless, man.
That's sexual harassment.
It was a white cop.
That's sexual harassment, bro.
That's sexual harassment.
You can't be going around asking for random hugs. Man, if I did that to some girl at work, why don't you give me a hug?
You do that.
That's sexual harassment.
That's a pervert way, though.
I can use a hug while y'all come here.
There you go, mama.
Oh, there we go.
Why you mad? Why you need a hug, mama?
Because this boy, though, I was sleeping at his house last night, and I told him to take me home. No, just take my car. No, drop me off at home. Made me take his car, and now he calls me at 5 o'clock in the morning to come back over there. I can be at home, sleep.
Why you ain't got no job?
You going, though.
I got a job.
You know you won't give him something this morning. You won't give him something this morning.
He ain't getting done. I'm going to sleep. Here.
You lying. You up now.
You might as well.
I do might as well. Now
you
got
to go. See, there you go. All right, mama. Thank you for calling. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Rihanna with Work. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee. Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's a Thursday. Now, Charlamagne, you were on The Late Show last night, and it was surprising. When I seen you tweet at about 12 o'clock, I'm like, Bae still up?
Yeah, I was on a couple shows last night. I was on this show called Black and White on A&E. It was the season premiere. Salute to my dude, Sherrod Smalls.
Mm-hmm.
That came on at 10:30, but I was actually on live on The Colbert Show. That was my second time being on The Colbert Show, and Barack Obama didn't finish speaking until after 11:30. And, you know, Stephen Colbert's whole live show spiel is based on the Democratic National Convention, so they waited until the DNC was over. Then the local news had to come on, and then it came on. But it was dope. John Oliver was on there.
Okay.
I was on there.
Okay.
And, I mean, I just like doing the Colbert Show. It's a good experience. It's a lot of good energy.
Now, you're out in Chicago. How's the Chi-Town?
Oh, my God, it's beautiful out here. I'm actually having a really great time. I met a lot of people while I was out here. I can't even talk about what I'm doing yet. But I guess you'll find out, like, around September. And the studios here, by the way, are amazing.
I heard you trying out for the Bulls. You and Dwayne Wade, y'all were trying out for the Bulls or something. You were no?
He's already made it.
Oh, okay.
But no, I'm not trying out for the Bulls.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Dwayne even had to try out.
I don't think he had to try out.
They just gave him a lot of M's.
Yeah, a lot of M's.
Like 40-something M's.
Okay,
him and those bad knees.
All right, well, next hour, Anderson .Paak will be joining us. He's signed to Dr. Dre. I think that's Dr. Dre's only artist right now.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody else on the Dr. Dre right now.
I'm not sure, but I like Anderson .Paak a lot. I slept on Anderson .Paak, but then somebody put me onto the Malibu Project, and I think the Malibu Project is very, very, very dope.
I wouldn't consider him R&B. He's kind of a little bit
definitely
everything.
R&B.
He's a little worldly, a little R&B.
He's definitely
he raps
R&B.
A little bit. He's a little everything.
He's a singer.
Okay, you can say
he's
singer.
He's definitely a singer.
Yeah, yeah, he's dope. Definitely say singer. So we'll chop it up with him in a little bit.
And by the way, isn't Kendrick on Aftermath? I mean.
Oh, yeah, you're
right. Oh, yeah.
That guy.
He's a pretty big artist.
Yeah, I know. He definitely is.
But you know what, though? When you think Kendrick, you don't think Aftermath. You think TDE, exactly.
Absolutely.
But I get it. He is on Aftermath.
All right. Well, yeah, we got rumors coming up.
Well, we're watching this saga continue between Keisha Knight Pulliam and her husband, Ed Hart. Well, after such a short marriage, she spoke out and said she thought everything was smooth. Well, here is what Ed Hartwell has to say in response to that to People Magazine.
Okay, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep a lock. Rumors on the way. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Rudy who?
Rudy Huxtable.
Her name is Keisha Knight Pulliam in real life. But, yeah, she did play Rudy Huxtable on The Cosby Show. And she's going through a rough time right now. She's pregnant. And her husband, Ed Hartwell, has gone public and said he wants to get a paternity test. Mm-hmm. And that he has filed for a divorce. Now, Keisha Knight Pulliam did an exclusive interview with Entertainment Tonight. Here's what she said.
He left like it was any other day. Said goodbye. I was still asleep in bed. And he texts me, you know, saying, hey, can I talk to you for a moment? Which was weird. I was like, okay, babe, you know, okay.
Sure.
He was like, you know, this isn't working. But all I heard was I filed for divorce this morning.
Dang.
And I'm coming to get my stuff.
Did you cheat on him during your marriage?
I have never cheated on him. I've never been unfaithful to my husband. This is his daughter. You know, it's one thing when you choose to be in the spotlight. It's another thing when you have a baby. And it's not about me.
Yeah.
How does Heathcliff Huxtable feel about all of this?
I don't know.
Any comments from Claire Huxtable?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I don't know.
What about Theo?
Sad,
I don't know.
Because this is her real life story, and she's really pregnant and having a baby now. According to a source on Ed Hartwell's side who revealed some things to People Magazine, this source is saying the couple just cannot see eye to eye on anything. Ed Hartwell's very old-fashioned in marital beliefs and how couples should make decisions, and it seems like she's more interested in remaining a successful, independent businesswoman than baking cookies and being a submissive wife.
Isn't Ed way older than her?
Yeah,
he's
I believe
37.
So.
Oh, that ain't way older.
Because
she's like in her 30s.
Yeah, she's in her 30s. I thought he was like 45, 50-ish.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's actually 38 and she's 37. There you
oh,
go.
They close.
Oh, yeah. Hey, they cool.
Yeah, and he has one child with Lisa Wu from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah, I thought he grew up like watching Rudy. Like he was a grown-ass man when Rudy Huxtable was running around the Huxtable house in pajamas.
But, right, I mean, no. They got married really quick after knowing each other. They've only been married 6 months, so.
Well, once again, that's what you get for leaving Big Tigger. Okay?
We don't know what happened with that
relationship. Right, that's the story in my mind until somebody tells me different, okay? She left Big Tigger and she's getting what she deserves now.
Oh, boy.
Now, Tyrese posted a picture on Instagram yesterday. Did you guys see it? The picture with Jay-Z and Future and Khaled in it? He said they scheduled a video. I hope they've scheduled other meetings about the state of black men and what we need to do to change the ish that's going on. I'm scared for our future. I'm especially scared of the most powerful black men and influential black men of our generation not finding time to take what's really going on more serious and align our minds and powers to directly affect change.
Tyrese, my man, 300, but he got to mind his own business. Like, the Jay-Z's out here doing a lot.
We don't know what these people are doing behind the
exactly,
scenes.
Exactly, but he's doing a lot. I mean, Jay-Z even dropped a record. Nobody paid attention to the record. He dropped what is it called, Spiritual? That was
yes.
about like everything yep. that's going on. Like he right, said he said he wrote that around the Michael Brown situation.
Yeah, that was an older record he did with Detail, and then he just put it out recently because he was waiting for the right time, I guess, to put it out, and he felt that this was the right time.
Why wouldn't you post that, Tyrese? Jay wrote a nice letter about it and everything. About why he decided to write the True. Record and why and how these things must cease. The killing of unarmed black men in America. But why highlight that Future and Khaled situation when Jay-Z put out a record?
But we don't know what people are doing behind the scenes.
Tyrese also wanted to make some things clear. He actually spoke to TMZ after this, and he's saying he's not calling out Jay-Z, Khaled, and Future as hip hop stars not doing enough for the community. He said that was just about all people of color needing to step up and come together, especially powerful men like Jay-Z. He said he's also going to reach out to Jay, and they're going to try to come up with some kind of plan to help save black men from killing each other and winding up in jail.
Listen, I agree with him, but don't assume people aren't doing things just because they're not posting it all over social media or doing Snapchat videos about it. You don't know what people are doing.
Correct.
Right. All right, now let's discuss. I'm in Chicago, and just recently they actually started demolition of Oprah's former Harper Studios out here in Chicago on the near West Side.
And they knocked it down, right?
Yeah, they actually McDonald's bought it.
Mm.
And so they're going to be moving their headquarters over to that location. So Oprah posted a picture of her studio, and she said, first crack on the wall, and before you know it, demolished. Harpo Studios, long may you reign in our hearts. So many memories, so many powerful stories shared. Thanks to all who made it happen. So that's where she had the Oprah Winfrey Show from 1990 until it went off the air in 2011. She just closed the studio for good last year.
Is that the one she had all the cars where she gave everybody a car? You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car.
That studio, absolutely.
By the way, I'm a Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles card, and I don't like how you said that about my mama.
What part?
She said McDonald's bought it. McDonald's didn't buy it. Oprah sold it.
It's the same thing.
Nah, okay. You sure it's not? Oprah sold it. Let's be clear.
And
she sold it because she wanted to sell it.
Her studio complex thing. $30.5 million.
Yeah, Oprah sold her complex for $35 point something million
because
she wanted
McDonald's
to.
McDonald's bought it for
Oprah
$35.
Sold it.
And they're going to put a McDonald's there and sell nuggets and cheeseburgers and fries.
I don't know if it's going to be a huge McDonald's. I think it's more like their headquarters, their corporate headquarters.
I was just arguing.
It's not going to be a McDonald's.
And she sold it because she wanted to sell it because she was done with it.
Okay.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for my mama, Oprah. I'm a Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter, damn it.
That's a lot of nuggets on deck. All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we have a special guest joining us.
Yeah, young new artist that I thoroughly enjoy. I was sleeping on him. Somebody was trying to put me onto his music a few months ago. I didn't get around to it. I think I started listening maybe like 2 months ago. He's got a project called Malibu that's really, really dope. Anderson .Paak will be here.
That's right. He signed to Dr. Dre. He's worked with Dr. Dre's album, The Compton Album. He worked with Game. So many different people. We'll chop it up with him when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Drake, One Dance. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building today.
Anderson .Paak.
Yes, Lord.
I can't front, brother. I slept on you. Somebody recommended you to me early this year. And I never listened, but a few months ago, I listened to Malibu, and I'm like, this kid got it.
Now, you signed to Dr. Dre, or?
I'm signed to Dr. Dre.
After you signed to Dr. Dre?
Yes.
Now, I know you wrote a lot for Dr. Dre, but Dr. Dre really doesn't have that many artists anymore. So you're kind of...
Don't. It's it's an interest. That's why I like it. It's a good time right now, you know?
And wasn't it when they presented your music to Dre, somebody said, Dre's not signing no artists.
Yeah, what's his name? The lawyer. I mean, he was just kind of like, you know, good luck, you know?
Good luck.
Yeah, like... could play it for him, or I'll try to play it, but he's not interested right now. And that's how I felt too. I always thought it was so far fetched, you know.
So he did play it for him.
I suppose. I think
and
a lot of people
happened?
Tried to play it for him. I think F. Gary Gray tried to play him some stuff, but honestly, like, you could play stuff for people, but sometimes in the case of me, a lot of times people don't really get it. A lot of times until I'm in the studio with them,
right?
They see it kind of unfold, and then they really become believers at that point. And that's what happened with him. People tried to play him different things, but then when I got in the studio with him, he was like, oh yeah, it's that nigga. And we was just always writing it.
But I feel like we're speeding a little bit, man. Let's talk about this process. It took you 13 years to get on, from what I read.
Right. And I'm only 21 years old, so, you know, it's kind of crazy, bro. Like,
but you did say
rap is a six.
Yeah, bro, you know.
Why you did
so
say
long?
At one point you wanted to give up, and not even...
I was ready to give up this morning.
Why'd you want to give up?
Because I didn't sleep. I was up all night. And I was like, damn, I got to come. They're going to be grilling me. They're going to ask me some crazy shit about Dre. There was a couple times, man. It was just taking forever. I was watching everybody else just... Psh, psh, psh. Like, Hov has a line where he's like, it's like 92, 93, and like Snoop and Dre and all them are popping. Yeah. He's literally still slinging. Dope.
Yeah.
You know, and... that's how I was feeling watching
Illmatic Pop in the West. Had it locked. Yeah.
Yep. That's how I felt. But I had a family. I had a kid. I got a son and a wife. And I was literally going couch surfing with my fam. Just had no direction. And I was watching everybody pop off. You know, Cole, Dre, Kendrick. And all these people were the same age as me. And
you can't watch other people's journey, though.
But I was. I had shit else to do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was doing. I was watching episodes of The Breakfast Club. I was watching. That's all I did, you know? I was just watching. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't watching, I was just working on my music and working on my craft. I had nothing else to do.
Now, which wife was this? Because I find it interesting.
This is the one that matters.
That you've
Jay
had a
Lynn,
couple of wives.
Heyanse. Nay. Chagia.
I started speaking in tongues just
now. That's right. She know. They know what it is. Annyeonghaseyo. All my Korean people out there.
You've been married twice.
You're
young to be married twice.
I'm a lover boy. I blame it on my mama.
Oh, okay.
She been married.
Oh, she's been married a lot of times.
She got a handful. I mean, you only get a couple of good marriages, so you might as well.
Get a couple of good marriages.
That's what I'm
saying. You were homeless at one point, too, right?
I was, bruh. I was homeless, couch surfing, you know.
Because a lot of people be saying they homeless.
Right.
You know what? Staying at a friend's house.
You know what? I don't feel like I was ever without a home, you know? I was exactly like you said, you know? Like, with me, there was never a time where I felt like I couldn't go somewhere, you know? And I got siblings. I got two other sisters. And honestly, I lived with them, you know, with my sister. And when one sister kicked me out, I moved with the other one. And then when she kicked me out, I run out of money, I moved with the homie. And then, you know, it was just, I always had somewhere to go.
You weren't on the street homeless.
There was a couple of times where it was in between places and the homie was, you know, he had his spot.
Your wife and your kid gotta get out.
And the other homie, you know, I remember one time the homie that was really helped me out, Shafiq, was like, yo, my spot about to get foreclosed, so you can stay here until the sheriff come, and then we gotta go. You gotta help me,
Pat. So you were squatting.
Yeah, that's it. I would go one spot to another until I finally got a little bit of change and I got on tour, and then I was able to.
Now, how did you meet your wife? You said she's Korean, she didn't speak English.
Which one?
The one that matters, as he says.
Yeah. I met her in music school. She came in from Korea. I went to this school where it was kind of like a ITT Tech for Musicians trade school where they teach you until you get popping, you know, you got to make some money. And I didn't want to go and get a job and work at Ralph's or whatever, you know, so I just was like, okay, I play drums. I've been playing drums in the church for years, so I at least can read music and I can be a session player. I went to that school. I got into the school. I had to drop because I couldn't afford it. I couldn't get nobody to give me a loan and I couldn't get no financial aid, so I had to drop, like, within weeks. But then they were like, you good. You know how to play, so we're going to hire you as a TA. And that's how I met my wife, because she was in the vocal class.
How did you afford to go to school, but you was homeless?
So I couldn't. So I got
a TA.
Yeah, I was a TA. So they was paying me to be there.
Teaching assistant.
Okay.
Yeah, so they was actually paying me to be there.
Now, your father went to prison for beating your mom?
Yeah. He got caught up on, you know, in the drugs and alcohol. Things got a hold of him. And that was the last time I ever saw him. I was like 7 years old. And he was just all messed up on it. And, he was just out in the street with my mom's. And my mom's coming home from work one day, and he just tackled her in the street.
Really?
For what?
And we just heard her screaming. He had a lot of issues. There was a lot going on, you know. I was only 7 years old.
And you haven't seen him since?
No. Well, he passed away when I was in my maybe 23 or something.
So he died in jail?
Yeah. No. He got out. He did about 14 years and got out. And then he started calling me, and we started kind of building a connection and talking. But he was really trying to reach me and wanted me to come and visit him and stuff. And I honestly put it off for a while. And I remember he would leave messages. And I didn't know he was dying, but he knew he was dying. He got cancer. And now I understand why he was so adamant about trying to, like, build that relationship with me. And I was kind of a little bitter. And now I feel, you know, kind of shit because, you know, it would have been nice to, you know, talk to him.
All right, well, we have more with Anderson .Paak when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Rihanna Needed Me. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. He's signed to Dr. Dre. He's worked on Dr. Dre's album, The Game album, a host of albums. Goes by the name of Anderson .Paak. Now, Charlamagne.
Now, your mom went to prison, too, though.
She did. He was pretty much around all the way till I got into high school. But when I got into senior year of high school, both my mom and my stepfather got put into prison.
Interesting that your mom sold strawberries?
Yeah, she had her own strawberry business. And Oxnard is produce. It's like the beach and produce, strawberries, all kinds. You can grow whatever.
Marijuana, you grew marijuana, right?
Yeah.
So how do you go to prison for selling strawberries?
Well, no, she didn't go to prison for selling strawberries. It was a bunch of tax things, and I think they're called illegally moving securities.
Money laundering, tax evasion.
Yeah.
You probably hate strawberries now.
Man. I wish I could say that, man. I still really do like it.
Well, you know what's interesting is that even you being at home and having, you know, both of your parents go to jail, you still turn to music for everything instead of turning to something else.
Yeah. I mean, I had an outlet. That's it. That was it. It saved my life, you know? Like, I had something to do and something I was really obsessed about. I didn't care about anything else. Like, all this stuff was happening around me. My parents got put down and all this stuff, and I tried to work different jobs, and I bounced around different things like that, but I couldn't stop making music. I always do that. Like,
did it affect your siblings in a different type of way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my little sister was, you know, my little sister's 2 years younger than me, and she was, you know, I know it affected her, you know, just it was this a lot. It's just like having the ground just swept up under you. We was really spoiled kids, and we had everything we wanted.
Because of strawberries?
Yeah, I mean, my mom not only did that, but she was a really good gambler, and she still loved to gamble. So she would go to Vegas. We grew up in Vegas, and we would get everything comped, and we'd go out and just, my mom would be on the slots and just boom, bam, you know, just like.
And then you got married at a really early age.
Yeah.
Right, the first time.
Yeah.
How long did that last?
Like a blink. Hey. Well, I mean, as soon as I did it, I knew, I mean, it was just like, I grew up in the church, and like, you know, we both grew up in the church, and every time time we humped, we was like, we going to hell. Like, we going straight to hell. We was like, even if we were just like, well, let's just try to just hit, and then no, we're still going to hell. And like, so I was like, let's get married so we be legit.
Okay,
and
right,
we can freaky shit. Yeah. And I mean, it just seemed like a good idea, and it just backfired. But you know, the thing is, great thing about that was she was a really good singer, and she really gave me a lot of confidence and boost to chase, get back into music and really be like, you should sing. You should mess with that a little more.
That's great. So she had her purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a way,
everything.
People come into your life mistakes. For a different reason.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you owe anything? Like,
no.
being that she does music and you're in a position to maybe help her out now, would you do that?
Nah.
He said, nah.
I don't think she wants to see me. No, I mean, I think.
So you left her?
I did.
It was pretty bad.
Breezy Lovejoy, how could you?
I know. I remember she was like, it's either me or music or you. She seen me getting really, really into it, and she didn't like that.
Yeah,
you know,
she
when
encouraged
you have.
You.
Yeah, you know, people try to encourage you, but then they try to compete sometimes. You know, your significant other wants to compete with what you're chasing, and it takes a lot of balls, a lot of respect, because it's like seasons. You know, Kobe and Jordan, you know, when they're being the greatest, they probably couldn't be the greatest dad or the greatest husband at the time.
That's
when they scoring 40, 60 points a
right.
game. They just focusing on that, being the greatest basketball player. And now he's retired. I'm pretty sure you're like, damn, you know, what's that meme where he's like, so what should I like to do? You know, like, that's where it's at now. And now he gets all that time, but he was building something. And, you know, now he can just chill and do that. So that's what I'm doing now. This is really what I'm, you know, I feel like I'm the best at right now is making music and wanting to make music. And now it's really happening. And I feel like I'm got to really execute at this point.
You also have a lot of different influences in music as far as the type of music that you listen to. Mm. How would you categorize your music?
Sometimes it's a little poppy. Sometimes it's worldly.
Sometimes it's jazz.
Sometimes a little jazz.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little punkish.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's range and dynamic, you know, maybe genre-less or if anything. But I think that's for people to, you know, put it in their own little box, you know. I even sometimes think it's, you know, gospel, you know, even, you know. Like, I think it's just a feeling, if anything. But the people I really look up to, especially in hip-hop, were people that they were MCs, but their music met funk and met rock and met
like
jazz.
Who?
Like Andre 3000, like Kanye West, like Pharrell, you know. These were all people that were coming out and were big influences to me when I was still able to be a fan of music. And these were people that someone like Hove would draw inspiration from. I could see that when he worked with Pharrell, he was loved the fact that Pharrell could be a skater in punk rock and still give him these raw hip-hop beats and stuff like that. So I love that, you know, and that was what I was inspired by.
Do you feel comfortable around other MCs because you're so left, XXL cover, and you sit next to artists don't necessarily look like you or sound like you or the same vibe as you?
No, I don't feel, not XXL. I was a little more sometimes uncomfortable when I was maybe in the studio with like people like The Game, and there's just like, you know, 50 gangbangers, and I'm like, I'm worried, like, when I'm worried, you know, not to say, but when you do sessions like that and then you in with these kids, like, they I'm 10, 11 years older than some of these kids, and it's like,
did you connect with anybody from the cover, particularly out of all of them?
Hey, Lil Dicky was really cool, because I mean, you know, we're kind of like around the same age and we're just kind of real fascinated. I have like a, you know, it's like I'm fascinated by the younger generation of hip-hop.
How does it feel to be a freshman?
Why you keep saying younger generation like you super old, man?
I mean, I feel like it when I hear some of it. I feel like one of them old niggas when I used to play and it was like, what is that? Sometimes, you know? Like, I really feel like I don't get it, you know? Like, but...
But you know what? I've learned that there's nothing wrong with not getting it.
Yeah.
Because it's everything ain't for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, if I hear Lil Yachty, I'm not supposed to like Lil Yachty the way an 18-year-old kid likes Lil Yachty.
Exactly. But I'm intrigued, you know? That's just naturally how I am, and that's what brings the best out of you is being in these different environments.
Right.
So whether it's like being in with Lil Yachty or being with Schoolboy Q or being with like some punk rock group or anything like that, it's just I'm trying to figure it out. I love that part. It's like, whoa.
All right, well, let's get into an Anderson .Paak joint. It's called Am I Wrong? It's featuring Schoolboy Q. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Am I Wrong, Anderson .Paak.
featuring Schoolboy Q. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Anderson Paak's in the building. Now, Charlamagne.
Now, you sold weed legally and illegally, right?
Yeah. I think it was always illegally.
It was even, because I read something, you was trimming it?
Yeah. We was trimming, and I was bagging it up, kind of like the little grunt workers. And
you got fired from an illegal job?
Fired on my day off. No, I was like, it was, you know what it was? It was the well ran dry, and they didn't have no more work for us. And, you know, that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. But when it was popping, it was popping.
What you mean?
I just mean that.
How much money a week?
I think I was making like, and it was a lot for me at the time, but it was like 5-6 G's few days.
Nice
on
the
side.
Yeah. And it was me and my boy Jose, and we were, it was maybe about 10 or 12, but we split it, you know, and because we was moving it around, blah, blah, and it was all profit.
So it was out of a grow house or a real trap house?
No, it was.
He's trying to get you to tell a lot right now.
Yeah. It was
behind. Clearly, he's told a lot if I know. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Nah, it was, we was in it. It was damn near a trap house pretty much, but we was the only ones stupid enough to be in there and with all the product. And there was like, these niggas will go
Instagram,
in there and do
like,
it.
Hey.
Never on, it was, I think, I don't even think Instagram was popping yet.
Yeah,
this was still, yeah. So we was just in there trimming in. We was like, man, this, we taking all the risks, let's get a little bit, you know. So
y'all stealing. you were stealing the product and then selling a little bit on the side.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What are we supposed to do?
Now, how far along are you on your project that's going to be coming out under Dr. Dre?
I got a bunch of tracks, bunch of demos. I got a bunch of stuff that I never put out that I thought was going to go on Malibu. I just always creating. Like, I like to be in the studio every few days. I don't know. I don't think it is really going to start, though, until I get in with the good doctor, you know? And we do about a good few months and really, really, really get to the nitty-gritty of it. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited for that.
Do you want to get bigger? Cause you're in a good space right now.
I want to get better. I just want to get better at writing. Yeah. I want to get better at playing. I want to get my show to get better. I want that. I just want to be hungry, you know. And if that means bigger crowds and bigger checks, then so be it.
Now, what is the tattoo on your arm stand for? All the doves.
This is 24 doves. I was 24 when I had my son's soul. So I got a son here, and I got my son's name in Korean. His mom's full Korean, and I'm a quarter Korean. My mom's half. So it's just,
You're part Korean.
Mm-hmm.
So
nah.
Do you like your chicken Korean fried or Kentucky fried?
Never Kentucky. Okay. Nah. I try to stay away from fried, period. But I'll do the Korean fried any day.
So your wife is really a ride or die, though, because she was really there with you when things were super low.
I'm talking
Which
about
wife?
What's the first thing?
The only one that matters.
My Jaggy.
What's the first thing that you did for her and for your son?
I got her a Chanel bag. The boy bag.
You don't seem like you'd be married to somebody who'd be into that type of stuff.
It's a balance.
It's a balance.
I don't care. I like this story. She like.
Yes, because it's a big stain on your shirt that's been bothering me.
Where
interview.
Is it at? Where's
it's
stain,
right
nigga?
There. It's yellowish. Oh, I've been looking at it. What the hell
is that?
That's a little bit of hash oil. That's all right. Nah. But nah, that's just the balance. You know, it don't take.
And
much.
It's also representative of this is the first time I've been able to get a Chanel bag. And
I'm sure she got a bunch of them now.
She like that.
I'm saying it's a representative of where you finally just, you know, things clicked.
Yeah, for Koreans, yeah. They like that.
Love Chanel bag.
You got to show love.
The good thing about you, though, the money probably won't ever change you because you've been through the real low extremes already and you've lived life and you're older. So it's probably not going to make you go crazy.
Time will tell.
It's going to be fun to watch you, man, because I can see you either like being like one of those real legendary musicians. Mm. Oh, you might just go crazy.
Yeah.
Because you got a wool hat on in the middle of the summer. So I'm thinking it might be crazy.
I didn't know it was thunderstorming out of nowhere the other day. So I'm just like, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, that wool hat will protect you from
the thunderstorm. Keep it versatile.
Yeah. Yep.
You was gassing me for a little bit, didn't
you?
Right? No, but you said you're about to be a legend.
No, I can see that, though. I do, because you really care about the music.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, that's all. That's it. I love it. I love the music. I love y'all, and it's a pleasure being here, man.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
It's The Breakfast Club. It's Anderson Paak.
Yes, Lord.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Joe Button just did an interview with FirstWeFeast.com, and he talks about what happened, the aftermath of those kids that ran up on him at his house, and he chased them with the rocks and everything. All right, well, guess what he did after that? He actually showed up at their house. Check it out.
And I went to their house the next morning.
How'd you know where they lived?
Because the internet will tell you everything that you need to know about someone. Because I have a 15-year-old. If my kid were behaving in a manner that would get his head popped off, I surely would hope a parent would come tell me. The mom came to the door and I looked probably threatening. And she went and got his four brothers. And I had my conversation with all of them. We all had a nice understanding. We should probably rectify this. More importantly, if y'all don't, I'm at your house.
Well, okay. There you have it.
I think that Joe handled that the right way.
Show up at the house.
Yeah, I mean, he went to go talk to the parents. Like he said he's got a 15-year-old son. And if his 15-year-old son was in the street doing something that, you know, could get him killed, he would want somebody to come tell him.
Thinking about it, he did the right thing. At first, I was like, well, why would he do that? But, yeah, that's the parent thing. Yes, that's the proper
thing. These are young kids still at the end of the day. So, and also, it's probably embarrassing for them as well to have Joe Button show up and talk to your parents about what it is that you were doing.
But that's the truth, though. Like, I'd rather you come talk to me and tell me, like, look, I almost shot your son because this is what he did. Now you let the parents deal with their 15-year-old kids.
Right.
Right. Now, I don't know if you guys saw Bow Wow on Twitter, but people are
giving
him...
Why would I see Bow Wow on Twitter?
Well, because it was on all the blogs, what he said about voting. Now, somebody asked him Hillary or Trump. He responded, I don't really care because after I learned what I learned about politics, I just stay away, let down. They said, well, you should care based on the fact that your ancestors died so you could have the right to vote. And he responded, man, I only believe what the eye see. I'm mixed. I don't know what my ancestors were doing. I only know what I see. And they said, you don't know what your ancestors are doing. Did your eye see a movie called Selma? And he said, yeah, I seen Selma. Was I related to anyone? No. I'm saying my Moss side of the family is not black. Heritage different. This just went left. I don't understand what...
Boy, Shad, you as black as they come. You ain't nothing but a Negro, dog. I don't know where they are. I don't care what you... I understand what your ancestry may say, but when you step out that house, you as a little Negro from Ohio, Georgia, wherever you from. You claiming Compton now. I don't know. Wherever you from.
You said he's from Compton.
He claims it.
No, he doesn't. He'll claim no Compton. What's wrong with you?
That's what he told me. He told me I was banned from Compton. I don't know.
Wait, when did that happen? That sounds
he said
like that
something like that
report
on social media. I don't remember. All I'm saying is, Bow Wow, you a Negro. Okay? Stop it.
All right.
Mixed. Please.
Now, are you guys planning to watch Mariah Carey's upcoming 8-part docuseries that's coming on E! Mariah's World?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that.
No,
I'm gonna watch it too because I'm pretty interested to see what it is that she has to say. But she recently did a cover story for Complex Magazine, and she's talking about a lot of different things. She's actually singing Tupac during the interview, and she's saying that she would have loved to have a song like "How Do You Want It," like Casey and JoJo's song. And she said, "If I would have had a song like that, I'd live for that." She also goes on to talk about her divorce from Nick Cannon and saying that's not something that she would have wanted to happen ever. She said, but life happens. It was supposed to happen. It's fine for my children. I wish it hadn't happened that way. For me, it was. And she starts singing Too Much, Too Little, Too Late. Now, she said she wasn't initially looking for a new love until Brett Ratner introduced her to a regular normal person. Of course, we all know who that regular normal person is.
Billionaire.
Nick Cannon?
No, that billionaire.
That was after Nick Cannon.
First of all, that's not a regular normal person when they're a billionaire, okay?
No, not at all.
She got
all
a 35-carat diamond ring after less than a year.
Oh, yeah, that's real regular and normal.
Sheesh.
First of all, I'm watching that 8-part series just because Mariah Carey is such a diva.
I cannot wait to see this.
I wish we was recording her behind the scenes at the Breakfast Club when she was here, because when she walked in, she had a big entourage, and she came in with her own lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally had her own lighting guy just for her.
Yep.
Well, Mariah's World will be coming soon, so I'm sure we'll be talking about that as soon as it happens. And that is your Rumor Report. I'm Angela Yee.
Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who you giving that donkey to?
Oh, man, I need a man named Ronnie Music.
What?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
What?
Why did you start playing I Need a Girl and I said I need a man?
What?
I was about to say I need a man
what
named Ronnie
happened?
Music Jr. to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him.
All right.
But you set me up and hit that instrumental for I Need a Girl as soon as I said I need a man.
All right. We see what you're looking for. The Hunky Today's up next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
Donkey, donkey, donkey. Bunch of
That's time for the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes. Donkey of the Day for Thursday, July 28th, goes to a 45-year-old man named Ronnie Music Jr. Now, I need every drug dealer that's listening to The Breakfast Club right now to pay attention, because this next story is going to piss you off. I'm talking about the drug dealers who are out there praying, hoping, wishing they can hit a legal lick to get out the game. I want y'all to pay attention, because I want to tell you a classic tale of doing too much. Now, Ronnie Music Jr., won $3 million in a local scratch-off game in February of 2015. You heard me right. Ronnie Music Jr. won $3 million in a local scratch-off game.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. Your mama, grandma, auntie, they're going to keep sending you to the store for them scratch-off tickets now after hearing this story. This story is going to make the price of hope sky high. So go on and get ready to get your mama them scratch-off tickets and box of cigarettes every day for the rest of your life. Now, $3 million is great money. You can live a nice, comfortable existence with $3 million, but for whatever reason, this wasn't enough for Ronnie Music Jr. See, Ronnie got arrested and is facing a maximum of life in prison for investing part of his $3 million lottery winnings into a crystal meth drug ring. Yep, somebody has watched Breaking Bad one too many times, okay? Now, when you get some extra money, you should make investments. In fact, I encourage you to make investments, but this, sir, is an unsound investment strategy. You think, okay, all right, you invest into the drug game after you up $3 million? Huh? What part of the game is that? Now, investigators revealed that after he won this $3 million, Ronnie Music conspired with others to buy and sell kilograms of crystal meth in Ware County, Georgia, and elsewhere. It was determined that Ronnie was a source of supply for the meth that he purchased for resale with his own lottery winnings. His co-conspirators were caught trying to sell about 11 pounds of the drug, which has a street value that exceeds $500,000, according to federal prosecutors. Now, let's flash back to when Ronnie Music Jr. was handed this blessing in the form of the instant game 100 times the money scratch-off ticket, which he bought from a gas station. When he won the money, he told Fox affiliate WBRC-TV, "I couldn't believe it, and I still don't believe it. I buy tickets every once in a while." Well, Ronnie Music Jr., when I heard that you used some of that money to invest in a crystal meth ring, I couldn't believe it, and I still don't believe it. Federal agents seized more than $1 million worth of meth, an arsenal of firearms, thousands of rounds of ammunition, multiple cars, and more than $600,000 in cash as part of the case. And now Ronnie Music Jr. is facing the music because he faces life in prison, okay? Let me tell you something, people. When you take things for granted, the things you are granted get taken. If you are bestowed a blessing like winning the lottery, even though I don't feel like God intervenes in games of chance, but either way, Ronnie, you received a blessing, and then you just tied a rock, the biggest rock you could find, to your blessing, ran to the nearest lake, and threw your blessing as far away from you and your life as you could. You're about to get life in prison simply for being greedy, as if $3 million wasn't enough, as if you couldn't find anything positive to invest in. Why didn't you just take that money and sit on it until you figure out what you want to actually do with it? Once again, when you take things for granted, the things you are granted get taken. Please give Ronnie Music Jr. the biggest hee-haw, please. What an idiot. That's stupid.
Yeah, very stupid.
No, no, that is stupid, okay? You got $3 million.
He thought he was going to flip it.
That's that hood conversation. That's that, yo, you know we could flip that, right?
This is a white guy.
There's still going to be white people in the
He's
hood.
He's 45. He should have been grown out of the hood. No
Definitely
matter what
Breaking Bad.
Yes, no matter what race he was, he should have been grown out of any type of hood mentality. At 45 years old,
yeah,
and you get a $3 million investment at 45, and you say, you know what I want to do?
He didn't know what to do with it.
I want to go into the drug game.
He probably was nickel and diamond beforehand, mm-hmm. and it was like, you know what, this is my major come up.
You know you
and
sell.
He probably does just miss Breaking Bad since it went off the air.
But you know you sell drugs to make money.
I know.
He thought he was gonna flip.
There's no drug dealer that he probably even met that had made $3 million.
Not at all.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they had drugs that were worth 11 pounds of the drug was, it said, exceeded $500,000. Like, you got $3 million. You got more money than these drug dealers that you're investing in with. Like, what's the point?
You don't know no better. All right.
You could have gave that to me. I'm about to buy a scratch off today.
The Fed seized $600 in cash from all of these different co-conspirators. You had $3 million.
At least you got lawyer fees.
All right, Ronnie.
All right. Well, just to put it out there, I think the Powerball is over $500 million. So definitely go get a Powerball ticket if you.
Oh yeah.
If you're out there.
Yeah. If I win that, I'm definitely gonna invest in the weed game.
Legally.
We should all pool our money together.
No.
So selfish.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today,
Can
sir.
You imagine if we all won the lottery at one time.
And whoever had the ticket, I promise, if it was either one of y'all, you guys would definitely try to run with it.
We're gonna see who really loves radio if we all win $400. We're going to see who really loves the radio game, okay?
I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay.
Yeah, I'm going to stay at home with ISD
in
my
house. I'm going to be doing it from the house.
I'm going to do it from the house.
All right. That was Donkey Today. Up next is Ask Ye. 800-585-1051 if you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can ask.
Maybe you won $3 million and you don't know what to do with it.
Oh, we'll tell you.
Ask me.
800-585-1051. Call her now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's Jeremiah. It's we. That was Jay-Z. Excuse me, missed. And don't forget the iHeartRadio Music Festival presale has been extended.
Word.
The MasterCard presale is on until 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight.
So that means it's like, what, a discount on tickets or what?
No,
it's
you
a
can
pre-sale.
Get the
you get them before
else.
Everybody
no
else. So you have a great options in.
Oh, when got
black
you,
men
got
always
you.
Want a discount. Black men always want a discount over there.
And what's the problem with that?
Nothing.
But I'm going to tell you something. The iHeartRadio Festival is worth every coin.
Absolutely.
Hey, you're not going to feel bad about spending top dollar for the iHeartRadio Music Festival.
I was thinking about buying my mom some tickets, so.
All right. You still have a chance to get the best seats in Vegas before anyone else to see Drake, Usher, Pitbull, Ariana Grande, Britney Spears, and much, much, much,
and
much
more.
Bring somebody you love. Bring somebody you love.
And special appearances in spirit, Michael Jackson, Prince, and David Bowie.
What?
In spirit.
All right. Well, iHeartRadio.com/tickets. Write it down. iHeartRadio.com/tickets. Now it's time for Ask Ye. You got a question for Ye. You can call her up right now. Hello, who's this?
It's Anaisa.
Now, what's your question for Ye?
Hi, I got a question about three of y'all. I recently reconnected with this guy who just recently came back into my life. I used to date him in college, and the truth is, when I was in college, I was very book savvy. You know, I was always in the books, but coming out of my last year of college, I realized, like, it's time for me to party, time to have a good time, and that's when he kind of started treating me different. So my question is, why is it that men only want to be with chicks when, not that they ain't got nothing going for them, but they just are focused on themselves more primarily. And then when they start to have a good time and all that, then they're like, well, I can find this anywhere. Like, why is that?
Well, now, let's keep it real. You said that he started to treat you differently because you were partying and you wanted to get out of just doing being in your books. But I'm sure you started to treat him differently, too.
True.
So it seems like perhaps you telling him that you would rather go out with your friends and go party and do all of that than spend time with him showed him that he wasn't a priority to you, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, he is fine. Like, I like this guy a lot. He's always treated me good when I was, like, to myself. But
you like him a lot, but you didn't want to just settle down and be with him. You wanted to go out and have a good time.
No, the truth is, I'm 24 years old. I'm looking for somebody, but I also want to be comfortable in my own skin. And if I want to party or I want to do, you know, they have that meme that says, get you a man who can do both. Like, I want to be that girl who can do both at my own time. And it's
right, so
like,
it's not like, so when you go out and party, it's not like you're meeting guys and doing anything like that or dating anybody else.
I mean, I'm doing what I'm doing.
You're not ready to settle down.
All right.
So you want to casually date him, but he's not going to treat you like you're his girlfriend because you're not acting like you're his girlfriend.
That's true. Okay.
So there you have it.
Ain't nothing in the club anyway, so you got a good
man. But she's 24. She's 24. If she doesn't want to settle down, she can't force it. But you also can't expect him to give you the benefit of acting like you're his girlfriend when it's convenient for you.
True. All right. Thank you.
And you're having sex with him with no condom.
Oh, no. Trust me, boo-boo. Like, I thought
it was.
No. I ain't trying to have no kids yet. Thank you.
God know you like
welcome.
It raw.
She got off that phone fast.
Yeah, she got off that phone fast.
All right, thank you.
Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. You got a question for Ye, call her now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Rihanna with Work. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Ye, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. You got a question for Ye, you can call her now. Hello, who's this?
Maria from Atlanta.
Maria from the... what's your question for Ye?
All right. My question is, I work with some girls that I was really cool with. We, you know, we go out together a lot. We was hanging out. But then we had a new girl move down from... up top, and she's been in their ear telling them all this and that, but then she'll come back and she'll tell me stuff that they said, and I'm the type of person, I cut everybody completely off. I want to know, should I go back to the girls that I was cool with for like a whole year and talk to them and ask them, you know, what's going on? Is this, you know, workable because we all work together? Or can I just continue to cut them off?
Well, I think that it is important for you to not just listen to he said, she said, when you find to find out information on what's going on. I would recommend when things like this happen for you all to be in the same room together to address the situation. So get the girl that's going back and forth between you guys and saying things. It's very young and childish of her. But put you all in a room together and bring it all up so you can see what everybody has to say in front of everyone on the spot.
Okay, Missy.
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay, they're not as mature as I am. Even though I'm the youngest in the bunch, the hardest working in the bunch, because I work a lot. And I don't have time to sit down, and I know that it's not going to go anywhere, because they took it to Facebook. They were on Facebook talking bad, and pictures that I was tagged in talking about no love, no trust. And I'm like, you don't even know this girl. She only been around for 2 months, and I've been around for like 16 months, and I never changed up on y'all.
I think that being that you guys work together, it is a situation that you might want to resolve. It's great you can cut people off if you don't never have to see them. But if you're going to be in a work environment that's hostile, I think you should at least be mature enough to address the situation. Facebook, all of that is immature. You need to let them know, listen, let's get it all out on the table. All right, what's the issue? What do you think that I said about you? What I'm going to tell you what I heard you said about me. Let's just put it all out there. And moving forward, how about we don't talk about each other behind each other's backs? Because it's just immature and childish. You do need to address it because y'all work together.
That's right.
And sometimes these misunderstandings could be solved by communicating. We don't talk to each other. We hear something automatically, we assume it's true, and we go off. And now it's started a whole entire avalanche of events that could have been avoided if you just go right to the person, right to the source, and say, what's good? Let's talk.
All right, I can do that. I have to call y'all back next week to let y'all know how much bond money I'm going to need just in case they don't go.
don't go in there hostile. Just say, listen, we work together. I don't want to have these issues, so let's speak.
We might need a mediator, like Charlamagne, because...
I don't know if that's going to work.
Baby, I'll be there for you, baby. You tell me where I need to be.
That might make it worse.
You tell me where I need to be, and can I record it for my Snapchat?
You'll definitely have to fight if you bring Charlamagne as a mediator.
All right. Ask Ye 800-585-1051 if you got a question for Ye. Now, Ye, we got rumors coming.
Sometimes a fade resolves the situation.
I say it all the time. 5 minutes, and then y'all be friends again.
Yeah, you think that with women and men?
Yes, and then nobody can last 5 minutes. Good 35 seconds. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, there you
35
go.
Seconds 35 of scrapping, seconds you're good.
Ye, we got rumors coming up.
Yes, we'll talk about some more about Joe Budden, and he's talking about Drake all up in his DMs where it goes down. All right. Also, Amari Stoudemire has retired, but we'll tell you what he did so that he could retire with the team that he loves.
Okay, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Listen up.
It's just in. All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, we all love the speech that Michelle Obama gave at the Democratic National Convention. And this particular part of her speech actually had a lot of people talking online.
I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves.
Right. She goes on to talk about watching her two daughters playing with their dogs on the White House lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bill O'Reilly, for some reason, wanted to defend that slaves built the White House. Here's what he said.
Slaves did participate in the construction of the White House. Records show about 400 payments made to slave masters between 1795 and 1801. Slaves that worked there were well fed and had decent lodgings provided by the government, which stopped hiring slave labor in 1802. However, the feds did not forbid subcontractors from using slave labor.
That's crazy.
What was his point?
He actually was agreeing with Michelle Obama, but I think what got everybody so upset was the fact that he said the slaves had decent lodging and they were well fed.
They were slaves, okay? They weren't getting paid money. They were forced to work. Hello? I don't understand how you can justify, okay, great, you gave me a sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, no, it was more than sandwiches. It was actually meat from what he said. But, I mean, it's more, but, you know, it doesn't matter what you're feeding me, where I'm staying, if you're enslaving me.
If you're making me do it.
Yeah.
Well, he did open his show yesterday trying to defend it because people were going off, and he said it's a given that slavery is an abomination, but reporting the story behind Mrs. Obama's very valid points does not diminish the horror of enslavement, as these dishonest critics allege.
I mean, that is true, though. It doesn't. It doesn't, like, it doesn't diminish the horror of enslavement by him saying they had decent lodging and
good
food.
But I don't even understand the point of him.
Yeah, why would you say
it
that?
It don't matter.
No,
like,
no purpose to say that.
I don't care what's on the
no
menu.
No purpose, and even you trying to.
See, I was like making it okay.
Yeah, slaves did build it, but they got good food and they got a nice place to stay.
Yeah, I didn't.
What was the point?
I don't care what's on the menu or, you know, what hotel you stayed at during slavery.
All right, Amari Stoudemire has retired after 14 seasons in the NBA, and he signed a one-day contract so that he could retire as a Knick.
I'm confused about that. He had his best years in Phoenix. So I don't know why he would retire
confused,
as a Knick.
But, you know, I mean,
New York is one of the best cities in the world. But, I mean, you played your best season in Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't know. He just wanted to retire as a Knick.
I mean,
he made it happen.
I would probably choose New York over Phoenix, too.
Why? You played your best seasons there. You were all-star there.
I think it means more when you get your jersey retired in the Garden. I would think it means more to get your jersey retired in the Garden than...
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to retire his jersey. They're not going to retire his jersey.
Nah, they shouldn't. No, I would. I paid him $100 million. I'm going to lead to something. Nobody else can wear this jersey after I done paid you $100 million for it. Okay? We're keeping this. This is ours.
They're not retiring that jersey.
All right. Now, Joe Budden recently did... We talked about earlier how he rolled up to the House of the Kids... that were at his house, you know, harassing him, and went and talked to their parents. Well, he also did another interview where he talks about Drake in his DMs. All right, here's what he had to say.
What is wrong with waffle colored Negroes?
You know, he started off with, I would like to formally invite you to one of my four Madison Square Garden shows, August 4th, you and however many people you would like to bring.
Bring your goons.
Period, right? Then after that, it said, I bet you can't release 25 disc records between now and then. So then there was the laughing emoji. So I use that emoji with my friend, so I don't know if he's laughing or joking at this point. And then he followed that with, if you can, I will give you $10,000, LOL. And then it said, Joey, with a bunch of exclamation points.
You should do
it. I didn't know how to take that.
He should do
it. What do you think this was malicious or you think it was friendly?
It was malicious.
Yeah, it sounded like a polite fade. It sounded like a nice Canadian fade. You come to my concert.
Why he acted like $10,000 was a lot for Joe Budden, too. I'll give you $10,000 if you put out 25 diss songs. That's a lot of work for $10,000.
$10,000 is a lot for everybody.
If I saw that video of them kids in Joe's driveway, I would say a nice $10,000 would be a lot for Joe, too. I would have said the same thing. I get it.
Well, Joe Budden said he wasn't dressed up to par that day. He was just, you know, just woke up.
What about the rest of his life, though? Everything else surrounding him?
All right. Well, that is your Rumor Report. I'm Angela Yee.
Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, shout to our family at Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mix is up next. You want to hear something at DJ Envy? We're going to start the mix off with a world premiere.
And by the way, I just thought about this. Gambling with Joe Budden means nothing because he still owes me and Envy $1,000.
He definitely still does.
All right, he owes Envy $1,000, he owes me $1,000 because he lost the Hollow to Don, and we told him he was going to lose the Hollow to Don.
That's right.
So betting him $10,000,
yeah, good
means
luck
nothing.
Getting that money.
Exactly.
Well, let's get into
it. You'll get
a world,
them disc records, though.
World premiere. It's DJ Khaled, Do You Mind? World premiere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.